Right. The gentleman that you just heard singing is Smokey Wilson, and he will be singing at our Veterans Day recognition dinner, and that will be next Saturday evening at 5:30. So if you will pick up some of these cards, invite somebody to come. We really need to know how many people are going to come, and that is for everybody. We're trusting that you will invite veterans to be here. Every veteran will receive a gift, will be recognized, and going to be a great evening that evening. Hal's going to be sharing that evening, and Smokey will be singing some songs for us, and just a wonderful time that we can do a little something to minister to people that have sacrificed greatly for us. I'm very, very thankful, very appreciative of the fact that we have people here this morning that have served in that capacity that we might be able to enjoy the freedoms that we are able to enjoy. You know, a lot of people can't worship like this. They don't have the opportunity to be able to gather together in the freedoms we have in our country. And we have it because people have shed their blood and people continue to serve. And I stood this morning in recognition because I have great respect and honor for those that have served in that capacity, and we thank you this morning for your service. The greatest warrior that ever walked in two shoes was Jesus himself. And what an example of a mighty man. And I want us to take our Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 9 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now, this just doesn't pertain to those that have served as veterans, but it pertains to all mankind. There's so much that we can draw from this particular story concerning Mephibosheth. Now, I wondered why his mama, well, I know his name was changed later to Mephibosheth, but can you imagine naming a baby Mephibosheth? What would you call him for a nickname to shorten that? That's a tough one. And it's always interesting to read through the scriptures and come to understand and see some of the names that are written here. But this is a good one. But it has a specific meaning, and sadly to say, is applicable to where he was in his own mind and his own thinking. I think many times, I've met a lot of veterans over the years, and I make it a point to meet them and thank them for their service. I remember we had a guy that lived, he was our neighbor for several years in Maryland. And Johnny's routine was to go to work, come home in the afternoon. He lived with his parents. He was probably in his late 40s, early 50s. He would come home every afternoon. He would eat dinner. He would walk down to the local bar, which was 5 or 6 blocks away. He'd sit down there for 2.5 hours and drink beer, hang out with his buddies. He'd stumble back home, probably 7:30, 8 o'clock. He'd go into his bedroom, watch a little TV, and go to sleep. And that's what he did every day. Now, Johnny didn't talk a whole lot when he was going down the road. Johnny talked a whole lot when he came back up the road. And many times we'd stand out there over a chain link fence and Johnny would share what he went through in the service. He would open up his heart and begin to tell things that he experienced, what he was feeling in his life. And I think that many, many people that are not only affected by service because of a great sacrifice and things that people went through individually. Some of you here this morning, you're connected to people that have served. You know the impact. You know what these people have gone through. You yourself have literally felt in your own being what they have experienced in times of war and great pressure. War is a horrible thing. There's nothing good about it. Now you say, well, we're free because of it. I understand that, but there's a great price in relationship to that. And I want this morning to convey somehow or another through this story, and it's a tremendous story, that there is favor that God desires to extend. As for many, many times, I would try to share Christ with Johnny, but Johnny didn't want to talk about the Lord. He said, I've already been through hell. And to go through another hell would never be anything like what I'm experiencing, what I experienced there. And there was no way that I could understand what that man had literally gone through in his being. But I know it had affected him in a tremendous way. We all know people like that. But I'm here to tell you, there is favor to be found. I don't care how far you are in life, how deep you go in the problems and the difficulties of hardship. There's somebody out there that loves you more than you could ever imagine, that's more in love with you than you could fathom in your own mind, and he's seeking after you to minister on all levels of life. But what a great story as we get into it this morning, finding favor. Let's pray. Father, I'm praying this morning that somehow, some way, that you will convey from the pages of this blessed book what's in your heart. I believe with all of my heart, God, this is an Old Testament appearance of yourself, God, that through a man, and that being David, that you desire to minister to people and do things for people that they could not do for themselves. I'm sure old Mephibosheth had probably given up hope, that that's just the way that life was going to be. It was going to be unfair. It was going to be difficult. It was going to be demanding. It was going to take everything he had just to be able to exist. How he had been ripped off by the system. He had been overlooked. He'd paid much of a price, but realizing, Lord, that you're the only one that can turn things around in people's lives. I pray for someone in this room today that's been crippled by sin, whether it's by our own choosing or the effects of somebody else's wrongdoing, that God, today you will minister grace to the hearer. You'll challenge that heart that's closest to hell to know you. And we'll be sure to thank you for the great things you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul the servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame of his feet." Roman numeral number 1, his undeserved condition. Now, I recognize there are a lot of hurting people in the world, whether they're veterans or not. There are a lot of things that we ourselves have to deal with because of somebody else's choosing. This is a story of a little boy that 5 years of age, he was crippled at his feet. The scripture says in 2 Samuel 4:4, "And Jonathan said, Saul's son had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth." His nurse was running through the house trying to get away from the enemy and dropped him at 5 years of age. And from that fall, the Bible says he was lame in both of his feet. So his condition, it was undeserved. Do you realize that you and I have to deal with a condition that's undeserved? We didn't ask to be born into this world. We're crippled, so to speak, from a spiritual standpoint when we're born into sin, that we have a nature that's bent on doing wrong. There were a couple things about him. First of all, him being disabled and given the name Mephibosheth, which meant the son of shame. He got to the point in his own life that he embraced that title about himself. He was deprived. Not only deprived, but he was dethroned because his grandfather Saul was killed and his father Jonathan were killed. Everything was stripped away from him. And so he had nothing. He was not only crippled by a hard fall, but secondly, he was carried to a horrible exile. Now the scripture says in verse 4, look what it says, "And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto king, For he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Now Lodabar was a place of no bread. It was a place that was barren. It's not the kind of place you'd want to be. It's not the kind of place that you'd want to grow up in because it had nothing to offer. You might know of some of those places. And if you lived in Lodabar, you'd think tight squeeze was a big deal. It was just one of those places that you didn't want to have to live in. And there he was being placed in that horrible exile. As a young man, that this wasn't his fault, that he was lame, that he couldn't walk. And here he was taken to a place where they had nothing to offer him. You know, sometimes we've had people visit us, and sometimes people move into the area, and it's different being out here in the country. It's not the same as being in the city. I remember those days in Chattanooga and having to deal with all that traffic, and I thank God for being in the country, that our traffic jam in Chatham maybe consists of two or three cars and lasts for maybe a minute or two. And sometimes you have to deal with the John Deere tractors, and sometimes you have to deal with animals in the road, but that's a whole lot better than having to live in the city, amen, and deal with traffic jams that last for hours and hours and hours. I have literally seen Interstate 75 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, locked down for days, where they had to take food and water out to the people that were in the vehicles because nothing could move. You see, he was put in a place, a horrible exile, a place where there was no bread, where the essentials of life weren't even supplied. And it wasn't what he wished for, but there he was. You and I didn't wish to be born into the world in the way we came into this world, but it happened. Thirdly, he was captive to hopeless poverty. Now, understanding that his father had died and Saul had died, which meant that his whole kingship and the heir of the throne had been stripped away from him. And not only that, but everything, all the houses and the land and all the material things were gone. None of that was for him to be able to enjoy as he went through life, but every single bit of it. I mean, think about you and I being in that state in the life in which we're living in. That in just a matter of days that things were taken away from us and everything stripped away from us and the freedoms that we experience here in this country and the material things and the wealth and the land and the houses and everything just being totally taken away. That's where he was. He was not only crippled, he was not only put in a horrible exile, but he was in a place of hopeless poverty. And fourthly, he was convinced of a hellish deception. Look what the scripture says, and we pick up in verse 5. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maacah, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, which thou that thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And look what he says in verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, what is this thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? You see, for the Jews, a dog was a despicable, unclean animal. And that was his opinion of himself. Why do you think David, when he said to him, fear not, I wonder if he sensed in Mephibosheth that there was something there that Mephibosheth was probably scared for his life. I mean, usually when a leader would come in and somebody said when Hitler took office that he killed off some 1,500 people, that maybe David found out that as he's still alive, he wanted to destroy anybody that was connected to Saul. But yet in David's heart, David wanted to bless him. And so when Mephibosheth comes into the presence of David, his words were this, don't be fearful. Can you imagine what it was like when he got the word that King David wanted to see him, that he wanted to meet with him? Could you imagine? Maybe he thought when he got into the presence of David that his life would be destroyed and everything's gone against him since he was 5 years old. So what's to say that he's going to be any different from this point on? But yet David had a heart to bless him, and David had a heart to meet his needs and encouraged him. And Mephibosheth comes in that posture of humility and said, what is thy servants that thou should look upon somebody like me? And I think back to Johnny. Johnny had a very low opinion of himself. He was pretty much convinced in his heart that things would never change. He was convinced that that's just the way that his life was going to stay. We moved away from there. I really don't know where Johnny is. I don't know what's gone on in Johnny's life. I'm trusting that as God had a reason for us living in the presence of that man, that somehow, some way, something was conveyed to him over that chain link fence, that there was a God in heaven that cared for him, whether he cared for himself or not. We represent people here this morning that have hurting hearts. We represent people here this morning that are crying themselves to sleep. We represent people here this morning that's their opinion of themselves, and they're hellishly deceived over the fact that they don't matter to people in general. That's why we're doing the Veterans Recognition Dinner. We're doing it because we want people to know that we care. We want them to know that, hey, you matter to us. Now, I realize we're not supplying filet mignon and T-bone steaks and we're having spaghetti, but I look at it as that cup of cold water in Jesus' name to say, listen, you matter to us, and this is an evening, and we have a gift for you, and we want to recognize you, and we want you to know that we care for you. That's why we're asking you as a church body, as you represent veterans, that you yourself will ask people to come. They're people that I've invited to be here. I'm believing that God's going to have a group of people here this Saturday evening that when they leave this place, they will know this. Hey, there's somebody that cares for me. His undeserved condition. Secondly, his unannounced compassion. You see, there was a closeness between David and Jonathan. There was a covenant set between the two of them. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 42, the scripture says, "And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." You see, there was a confirmation of a covenant between those two, that no matter how long each one of them lived, that they were committed to take care of each other, and not only each other, but their seed. You see, what moved in David's heart to seek out Mephibosheth was the fact that he remembered that covenant that was between the two of them, that maybe there is somebody that's still left that I can minister to. Let me say this to you. Every single person in this room today has an opportunity to influence somebody's life. Somebody in this room say, well, I don't matter to the kingdom of God. Yeah, I'm saved, but what good am I? You know, the greatest thing that you and I can do is invest ourselves in somebody else. As we talk about veterans, who comes to your mind? You say, well, you know, I would invite them to come, but they probably won't show up. Well, give them the option to say no. Let them be the one. Instead of you and I not making the extension of an invitation, give them the opportunity to turn you down. At least they say, hey, somebody cared enough to ask me to come. You see, David was the initiator. Think about what happened on the cross of Calvary. Who initiated God seeking you and I out? There was a blood covenant, and that was through the death of God's Son. That invitation, that covenant affects you and I even this day, even if you're lost here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. There's a covenant, there's an agreement that's extended to every single person, just as David extended that grace and that mercy and that favor to Mephibosheth. God is still extending that to you and I. Not only was it confirmed by a covenant, but secondly, it was sought by a messenger, carried out by a messenger. Look at verse 5. "And the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel from Lodabar." You see, in David's heart, David said, "I want you to go get him." You know what? God's seeking a deeper relationship with every single person in this room. I don't care where you are in life. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what you're facing. He loves you. He desires to have a deeper walk with you, a deeper relationship with you. And just as Mephibosheth was sought out by a messenger, God wants you and I to be drawn to him, to have a deeper walk with him as we go through life. Thirdly, in closing, is unbelievable change. Now look what happened. In verse 9, the scripture says, the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I've given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. There were three things that I see in these scriptures that happened in the change that came to Mephibosheth's life. First of all, the supply. What was supplied to him? King David gave him everything that he deserved. He gave him everything back that belonged to Saul. Anything that belonged to Jonathan, any land, any houses, any material things were all given back to him. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that when you and I come to Christ, as the Bible says, that we inherit everything that Jesus has? Now, I'm going to tell you, I could care less if I got a big white mansion when I get to heaven. I'll be glad to live in an outhouse. I'll be glad to be homeless in heaven. It won't bother me. I'm just thankful that I get to go there. But here in Mephibosheth's life, when he was thinking that David's probably going to kill me, David is giving back to him everything that he owned. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine what went through Mephibosheth's mind? That here I've been living in a place of no pasture, a place of no bread. Here I've been thinking about myself that I'm nothing more than a dog. How many of you, it really struck a chord in your heart when you came to know Christ? When you knew that Jesus had entered into your life and you came to the understanding of what you had in Christ and what he had done for you. That there was not only the forgiveness of sin, but all the things that come along with that. And the promise of heaven and his compassion towards you and I, that he loves us constantly, eternally. Not only was he supplied, but he was served. Verse 10 and 11 tell us that, hey, everything was taken care of. Every single need that he had servants. The scripture says in the end of verse 10 that Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and they were all there to minister to Mephibosheth. How many of us in this room are served by God every single day? Things that we take for granted that God does for us. Aren't you glad for the sight that God's given to us? Aren't you glad for the physical health and all the material things that he supplies? Over and over, God does things to serve us. Not only the supplies of being served, but the security that comes. Look at verse 13. For Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was laying on both his feet. Can you imagine going from a place when you didn't have hardly anything to eat, and now every day when he wakes up in the morning, all of his needs are being met. His clothes are laid out, his shoes are shined. Every single thing is provided for him. People that are there to meet his every single need. And when it comes to meal times, he is rolled to the king's table and he sits down and feasts upon meals that you and I couldn't even fathom in our minds. Isn't that just like God? Isn't that just like him, that when we didn't deserve to be sought out, God sought us out? That God dispatched the messengers to come to you and I and tell us the truth in relationship to what he wanted to do in our lives. I still to this day, just like I said last Sunday, I don't understand the love of God, and I don't understand God, how God could love a person like me. I don't understand how he loved me enough to save me, and I don't understand how he loves me enough to put up with me every single day. But I know this, he does. And not only does he supply my needs, but he also serves and ministers on levels which I don't deserve. But thirdly, you're secure. You're secure in him to know that every single day what's made available to us is like sitting down and feasting at the king's table. You know, Thanksgiving is coming. I'll be here before you know it. And then comes Christmas. Sylvia used to always say every June, yes, it's June, but Christmas is coming. And it seems like just a matter of months that Christmas rolls around. But Thanksgiving is going to be here in just a few short days. And isn't it sad that we put so much emphasis on Thanksgiving in November and we don't put that much on it the rest of the year? When really we need to have a grateful heart for all the things that God does for us. Maybe you sit here this morning feeling like a Mephibosheth. Preacher, to be honest with you, I feel like that dead dog. That's my opinion of myself. Yeah, I've dressed myself up this morning and I'm sitting here, but in all actuality, in my heart, I have a very low opinion of myself. I feel like there are times that nobody cares. I feel like there are times that life might be easier for people if I was gone. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going through your heart and mind. But just as Mephibosheth was sought out by David to bless him, God desires to seek you and out. You're not here today by happen chance. You're here because God brought you to this place. Because he wants to speak to you and to your heart to say these words, that I love you and I care for you and I want to minister to you and do things for you that you cannot do for yourself. Father, I thank you this morning for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you're always ever present. I thank you, Lord, for what you have extended to us and what you desire to do for us. God, we're such an undeserving people, but thank you, Lord, that we find favor in you. And I pray this morning that we'll express an appreciation and gratefulness to you for all the great things you supply. That, God, you sought us when we weren't even considering you. The Bible says that we were enemies of the cross, but you sought us out. And so I'm praying this morning that there will be people that will yield to you, that will give their heart to thee. I pray as Christians here this morning, Lord, that we will come with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving to express to you in simple words how much we appreciate the great things you've done for us. And Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for his willingness to go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die. Thank you that he was willing to lay down his life as a ransom for his friends, that we might be able to embrace and accept that gift of eternal life, that one day when we take our last breath, we'll know what it means to cross over into a place called heaven, that we'll be there for all of eternity and experience the beauty of what you prepared for those that you love. And we thank you, God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?